Lloyd Banks. Great song.
What's going on, people? People Forget That Podcast. I was, as always, with your host, myself, Ryan, and joining me, as always, Kevin. What's up, Kevin?
What's going on?
NBA is back shortly after Lakers winning the finals. You haven't really heard them complain that much. Now they kind of just, I guess they're just, you know, they're over it. They accepted it, and now they're going into the finals.
Talking about like LeBron, you know. I think we could be. You're right about that. I haven't, at least that I've seen, complaints, but I think that could be that could just be waiting for, let's say, like a 4-6 start, or we get like a post game LeBron comment where he just throws out a little shot at the NBA at Adam Silver, like, whoa, you know, we never wanted to start this. Or I'm just saying, I wouldn't bet that definitely is going to happen, but that's definitely a possibility.
That would be a weak move, honestly.
It would be an extremely weak move. That's what I'm thinking, where they haven't done it because they realize how weak it is. It's like the season's starting. It's starting now. That's it. Like, no excuses. Guess the Heat played in the finals too, by the way. So it's like, if you start slow, you start slow. I don't really want to hear, but I think it could just be one of those LeBron moves where you kind of roll your eyes a little bit. Just be on the lookout for that, people.
Oh, Steve Kerr is already making excuses.
Did he really? I'm not sure. I might have seen this, but what was it?
He basically, I'm not going to give the exact quote.
Just take him out of context. Who cares?
I'm taking out of context, but basically he's just said expectations are low and we don't expect to be that good.
Really?
That's, yeah, it was like pretty.
I don't think the Warriors are going to be good. I'll just plant my flag in that. I don't think they're going to be good.
You know what's interesting? When we were talking about the MVPs, and we said we both agreed that Steph Curry is like, I mean, I guess he's a dark horse, but not in that front runner.
Yeah.
Or not in that, like, you know, leading candidate tier. And according to FanDuel Sportsbook, he's third highest.
Really?
Third highest, yeah.
I would not take that bet in a million years.
I don't
know. I would not take that bet in a million years. That's terrible. That's way too high. They like we talked about before, the MVP basically comes from one of the top, like, one or two seeds. There's literally no way that the Warriors – now, could you say that maybe if the Warriors get, like, the 3 seed or the 4 seed, and it's mainly because Curry had, like, a just insane season that he could win it? Sure, but even then, I feel like there's going to be other good, really good candidates from a first seed team or a second seed team. I cannot see him winning MVP. I said the dark horse, like super dark horse. Like, this guy is not going to win the race, dark horse.
Exactly, because we both thought that just the Warriors weren't going to be good enough. And I still believe that. I think that I'm trying to find this.
Wiseman is the X factor, though. If he, but like, is he better than DeAndre Ayton? Like, I don't know. Is that what we're hoping for?
Does he have that ceiling? I don't know if he's going to be as good as Ayton. Like, even though Ayton has been, you know, relatively on the weaker side on the defensive end, he's been really good offensively. But he takes a lot of shit for being weak on the defensive side of the ball. But James Wiseman, I don't know, like most first year big men, like if unless they're like elite talent, they're probably not going to be that effective their first year.
Yeah, especially defensively. They normally suck on defense.
Yeah, so I don't know. I mean, we saw very little.
So little. I think he played 2 games at Memphis, like literally 2 games or maybe 3. And he hasn't played in the preseason.
Okay, now I'm looking at the fucking odds. And now, okay, I don't know what FanDuel is doing. Unless I was old, but now they have Giannis, LeBron, Harden, Luka, AD, Lillard, Kawhi, in that order.
Right off the bat, Lillard and AD and Luka seem like good bets. What are they, like fourth or fifth, sixth, seven?
Kawhi too.
Kawhi is kind of a sneaky one because it's like, would people be completely shocked if they were the number one seed in the West? Would you be blown away? I wouldn't.
You would?
No, I would not. I'm saying that's definitely a possibility.
I expect them to do it. I expect them to do it.
They're going to have more motivation, at least in the regular season, than the Lakers.
Exactly. I don't think the Lakers, I don't care. Whatever team LeBron's on, I don't expect them to have a great regular season. Like, yes, last year was really, was very impressive. Yep. Like, last year, I said that they're going to win the title, but there would be, get the, like, the fourth seed, just because LeBron would kind of, like, take off and let AD do AD things. And they, you know, they got the one seed, and it was, that's really impressive. So, you know, I think the Lakers will get, like, the two seed. They might be, they're going to be tired, like, somewhat. So they might get off to a slow start or have, like, a rough stretch. And I just think that, you know, I mean, they're going to be contenders, obviously. They're going to be, they're, you have to put whatever team LeBron's on, just pencil them into the finals. So it's just, you know, talking strictly regular season, I'm not sure how great they're going to be. I think, adding Harrell and Schroeder 100% helps that, you know, take some of the load off LeBron and AD's shoulders. And, you know, I think they'll be very productive, but I think the Clippers are going to be super motivated. They lost to the Nuggets.
An embarrassing fashion.
And, you know, they had some, yeah, some really just embarrassing play overall, some terrible, some bad quotes. It's just like, it's really, it doesn't look that great. But I think they're going to, you know, they're way too talented to bounce, to not bounce back. And I expect them to really do just that. I mean, the Nuggets also could get the first seed in the regular season.
I could see, like, that.
I think, like, I don't expect them to go to the finals. But if Jamal Murray, who we were just talking about, I would say the bubble, like, he was way too efficient in the bubble. But I think he is basically just the average, the mean of what he was in the regular season and in the bubble. So I was somewhere in between there. And I think that's, it's hard to say if that's even an all-star, but
yeah, I mean, the West is just so stacked where, yeah, exactly like you're saying, I heard someone on a podcast the other day say it, and I kind of clicked in my head. They were like, CJ McCollum, if he played in the East, would probably have made like 5-6 all-star games. And it is definitely a huge difference, even though the East is getting better for sure. With Kawhi and MVP, I just think maybe load managing could be, like, if he's not playing back-to-backs and stuff like that, it's going to be hard to give him MVP.
Yeah, I mean, is he still going to load manage?
Yeah, like, definitely. Here's another thing where people, I don't know if we talked about it, but some of the narrative coming out of the Clippers losing was like, well, Kawhi better stop that load managing stuff. It's like, his injury, nothing about his injury changed. Like, if I'm the Clippers, I want Kawhi to continue to load manage unless his injury got a lot better, you know? So
right.
I just, if that's what it takes to get Kawhi, if that's what he feels it's going to take to get his body into peak form and him to be able to perform in the playoffs, that's what I want him to do. I don't think Kawhi is dumb enough to like let media narratives like make him overexert himself in the regular season and like run himself down. Did we, on sort of a similar topic or team, did we talk about the Paul George extension? They gave him like $1 trillion basically.
We didn't talk about it, but I think he's making more than Giannis.
That's pretty interesting. On a yearly basis, I thought we also didn't talk about Giannis. How about that? Giannis.
We didn't. It just dropped. But, well, just dive into the Paul George.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Paul George first, then Giannis. Paul George, I thought, obviously, okay, the easy takeaway is that, yeah, probably the last year or whatever, when he's making like $50 million or something, is that going to be great? Is he going to be worth that money? Probably not. But one thing that I thought was important was, you know, both Kawhi still has it, but Paul George had it, a player option after this upcoming season. So that could have been like looming over this season where it's like, now I didn't think either Kawhi, and obviously you can, it's hard to tell the future, but I really didn't see a scenario where Kawhi is going to leave the Clippers after two seasons, because this guy is like commuting to Los Angeles from San Diego because that's how bad he wants to basically live in San Diego. And it's not like he's going to join the Lakers. So you could see a possibility where maybe Paul George would have left after the season, but now obviously that gets wiped away. And I thought that was at least good for the Clippers, where it's like, that's not even going to be a question anymore. You know, there's going to be no, oh, are these guys going to literally, after they trade all that stuff for Paul George and Kawhi basically too, Is it possible that they might just both bounce after the season? So that narrative's done. It's not going to be hanging over the team. And I also thought, you know, I mean, we're both on the record as, you know, buying low on Paul George. People are being, he's going to have a bounce back year. And people are, the disrespect has gone a little too far. Obviously, he does have a bit of a reputation, well-deserved, of in some playoff moments not showing up completely. But people get a little carried away with the slander, like he's not, you know, a consistent all-star level player and can reach pretty high peaks. So I thought, I thought it was good for, and another point is the Clippers had to do it. You know, you can't let Paul George, after everything that you traded, you have to lock that guy long-term. That's your only option. Like, you can't let him walk away for nothing. You just can't let that happen. So you have to sign him at that point. So, and who knows, maybe they could trade him if things go wrong. Is there a team that's chomping at the bit to pay Paul George whatever he got, like $200 million close to it? Probably not, but I think overall it was a positive for the Clippers because they had to do it. You can't just let them walk out for nothing.
No, it's a huge one because now if they decide to trade him, it's much easier to trade a guy that's in his prime with 5 years left than a guy with 1 year left. And you're not sure if, let's say you trade for him, you're not sure if he's going to sign with you.
Right.
And you're not like, if you got him for 4 years on a contract, if they decide to like trade him next year, and it's like, okay, I mean, we got 4 years guaranteed. Like, you can't force out a trade. I mean, I'm sure they'll talk to him and be like, are you somewhat interested in coming here? Like, let's say.
Yeah, of course. They always trade
like Celtics or something. I don't know. And, something like that. But huge win. And, the Clippers are going to be great. And I think it's, looking at Giannis, huge win for both. Giannis simply gets paid. And, you know, he gets his bag and he still has the option to leave the Bucks if he chooses. Like, he could just demand a trade. And why, after saying that, why is that a win in the Bucks, favor? Because, again, Giannis has like 4 or 5 years on his contract now. So trading potentially one of the greatest players of all time in his prime with 4 years left. That would be, it would have to be like all 29 teams would give up everything for him.
Yeah, it'd be like the mega package.
If he decides to get traded, they might get the biggest Godfather offer you've ever seen. Not even close. Like with AD, he was traded with, what do you have, 1 year left on his deal?
Basically like a year. Oh, yeah, never mind. I was thinking he got traded at the trade deadline. It was 1 year. 1 year left.
And you look at that package. So think of that, but like with greater blue chip type pieces.
Right.
So,
and I just think what makes it even more weird with all these conversations is the Drew Holiday trade just sort of throws off everything. If Drew Holiday with like 1 year left on his deal can get that type of return, it's like, I don't know. You should be able to trade any sort of superstar player for like everything, I guess, nowadays. So, I mean, it definitely, obviously.
It was a desperation move by the Bucks. I feel like that's.
It's in like the Paul George to the Clippers type of category almost.
Yeah, it's not really it doesn't properly demonstrate the value of
agreed
that market.
Agreed.
I think it was just, they just paid a premium. They were basically like, okay, if we get this guy, we have a better shot of trading Giannis, so we'll throw in like two more picks or another pick swap or some shit like that.
What bums me out about this, and sorry for any Hawks fans, for all the Hawks fans out there listening to this, I really, really just wish, even as someone who's obviously rooting for the Lakers and wants them to win again, I really wish that the Bucks had gotten Bogdanovich and been able to get him in addition to Drew. Because if they had gotten both of them, I would have been like, damn, that's such an amazing, you re-sign Giannis. That would have been basically like the ideal offseason, right? They re-sign Giannis, they trade for Drew Holiday, which it's almost was swept under the rug because they sent so much to get him. But Drew Holiday was kind of, before Harden, we knew Harden was available. But Drew Holiday was like the, basically the best player that was in trade rumors and stuff like that before Harden. And then they would have signed Bogdanovich. And I feel like they're still missing a big Bogdanovich type player, like a secondary off the dribble creator who can play make a little bit, who's a good shooter. Like Drew is a good player, and he's a really good defender, and he could guard multiple positions. He's really not that great of a shooter. And is he really, you know, the off the ball scorer? Maybe he's just enough of an off the ball scorer that because it's not like the Bucks need James Harden to win the title. You know, Giannis is so good, but he just gets his points in sort of like a blunt force way. Like he just punches you in the face. And at a certain point in the playoffs, you're going against a team that is not just going to get, you know, knocked out because you punch him in the face. So you need that sort of like finesse guy off the dribble, you know, step back, jump shots, stuff like that. That's why everyone says, oh, Giannis needs like a jumper, or he needs – I really think Giannis needs a post game. I think maybe it was Zach Lowe who brought up that point, but I think that like the Bucks are like prioritizing giving Giannis a post game. But I really am just sort of bummed out that they didn't get Bogdanovich. I think that would have made them obviously a better team, and I would have been interested to see how that would have worked out. But overall, obviously, they got Giannis, so you can't say it was not a good offseason for the Bucks. They avoided the DEFCON 1 disaster or DEFCON 5, whatever is worse, that losing Giannis after this season would have been. So,
100%. I mean, I will say that the moment Jrue Holiday signs that 4-year extension,
yeah, it's not going to be good. It's going to be good.
It's not going to be good. It's going to be one of the worst contracts in the league instantly.
instantly. Let's give it, in fairness,
congratulations. You got the worst contract in the league. Yeah. He doesn't care. He's getting the money.
Yeah, that's but, the funniest part. Is like, imagine putting yourself in their shoes where it's like, dude, your contract's the worst. I want my contract to be the worst contract in the world. Yeah. Okay? That's my goal in life. But anyway, so he just turned 30. So, you know, but yeah, like you're saying, it's sort of similar to the Paul George where, yeah, the last year, the last 2 years is really not going to be, you know, pretty in terms of the player delivering that value to match up their contract. But, you know, it is, at least it's nice if you're the Bucks that he's not like 32 or something, then they would be really ridiculous. But yeah, he's not going to be worth it. I guess they're going to have to max him. I don't even know what he's been in the NBA for a while. So I imagine his max has to be pretty hefty, but you know, at least they should be. Who did they lose? Who did the Bucks? Well, they lost Bledsoe and George Hill, obviously, in the trade. I'm trying to think, I think they lost Robin Lopez, but he wasn't really a factor. Marvin Williams, yeah. I think the Bucks are still going to be up there. I think probably, and I'm speaking more so for myself when I think about the Bucks. I guess I'm just sort of I'm not forgetting how good Giannis is, but I'm like underestimating it. Or it's like, yeah, Giannis is going to put up like 32. You know, 15 and 7 this season, and it's just going to be like, yeah, that's just that line. So there's only a certain floor that your team could reach if you have a player that's putting up those type of numbers.
Yeah. I mean, so in order of if I'm going to be 100% honest.
Objective, as best as we can as humans, we all have our biases.
All right, so I would say Lakers, Bucks, Nets, Clippers. And bias would be simply just the Nets one. Because I do think that the Nets will make it over the Bucks. And after watching KD come back, and I'm telling you, like, so basically, we have this. We were just, you know, talking about it over text, but he looks 100% to where he looks like what Kevin Durant will look like at age 32. Like, he hasn't played in a year and a half, so I just think that, you know, maybe he's not as explosive, but I think that's more because he could be older. But everything else is there. Like, he looked fucking good. He looks so fucking good. He was blowing by Marcus Smart and Jaylen Brown, like blowing by them. I was in awe. And I honestly just couldn't believe it. He played good defense. And this is his second game back. I mean, I know it's preseason. But what I was saying over text is that, you know, everyone has an ego. And then when you're going up against like the best players or the best teams, you get the best out of, you know, your opposition. Because they want to beat you, you know, they don't want to roll over to you. You know, these guys are like the most competitive people in the world. That's why they're professional athletes. So, you know, Jaylen Brown and Marcus Smart are actually guarding Kevin Durant. Like, they're not just going to let him score. Like, yeah, maybe off ball, they might, you know, be a little bit more lackadaisical and just kind of be a little bit more floaty you know, spacey. But you know, on ball, when you're guarding like Kevin Durant, like LeBron, Anthony Davis, like doesn't matter if it's a pickup game at LA Fitness preseason or the playoffs, like you're playing them 100%. So, you know, for KD to do that, and like, I don't care if they lost by like 50 points. Like, I don't care about that. Like, I just like was just looking at how he looked, and you know, his jumper is going to be there just because he's naturally gifted. But it was just the athleticism that was in question. You know, how fast was he? How high can he jump? Like, what are his cuts, his jabs like? You know, are they clean? You know, his passing was definitely a little bit off, but you know, that's just, you know, he hasn't played in like 550 days in even a simulation game like that. So very impressive. And, you know, I think the Bucks are great. Giannis is amazing. I think people are shitting on him because of his playoff performances and like, oh, you can't win with him. But honestly, I just think he's so fucking good that you can. But he just, you know, I don't know what happened. You know, they look sluggish, and there was red flags against the Magic in that playoff series. I was like very skeptical. I'm like, how are the Magic even in the game with these guys? Like, the Bucks should just be blowing them out in four games. And, you know, they won in five, but, you know, two of the games were very competitive, and obviously they lost one. And then again, you saw it against the who they played?
The Heat.
They played the Heat, yeah. And they played the Heat. They struggled against them in the regular season, and, you know, they were just a bad matchup, I guess, with the Heat. And we saw what happened. But I think Giannis, I think Drew Holiday this year is going to be a very nice fit. You know, that piece is huge. So I think they're going to be very dangerous. And, you know, I love the Nets and can't count out the Lakers with LeBron and AD. And then Kawhi and Paul George, they got something to prove. So, you know, LeBron's on a mission. All these guys are on a mission. Like, these top four teams, like, the narratives are there. LeBron's, you know, LeBron and AD are, you know, well, LeBron's, you know, building his legacy, and so is Anthony Davis. Giannis has to prove that he's good in the playoffs. And the Nets, you know, Kevin Durant and Kyrie, KD wants to show that he could be the number one guy on like a non-super team or win a championship, you know, whatever. That's like basically the public narrative against them.
Right.
Like, I don't believe that, but, and same with Kyrie. And then the Clippers, you know, Kawhi, you know, just after last season, you know, they have a lot to prove. Like, they came in, you know, chest out, you know, puffing it, and they really just didn't have anything to show for it. So those teams really are, that's the top tier. And you got the Celtics, Heat, Raptors, Nuggets, Sixers, Mavs. I think the Jazz are, last year we had the conversations how the Jazz were going to be contenders. And this year you're not hearing that yet. I think they're better than last year.
Why do you say that?
Well, in the playoffs, they didn't have Bogdanovich.
True. That's true.
Who averaged 20. And Mitchell didn't break out yet. Or, well, in the regular season, he didn't.
Right.
And then we saw that in the playoffs. So I think he's going to be, like, same thing with Jamal Murray. He's going to be the mean between what he did in the bubble and the regular season. So I think he's going to have a breakout season. Gobert is going to be Gobert. I mean, they're a good team. Conley struggled in the first half of the season. But he bounced back, and he was playing well. So he was looking like Mike Conley of old. And I think they're going to be good defensively, and they're going to have a nice offensive game too. And I think the Raptors are probably going to take – the Raptors and Heat both take a dip. Where the Heat, I mean, they really played hard, and they must be exhausted. I don't know – I mean, I think Bam's awesome. Like, he might have like another breakout year, but I don't, like, Jimmy's not that good. Jimmy's not as good as what we saw in the playoffs, and people are acting like they are. They're already like they're thinking the Heat are going to be, you know, a powerhouse, And I just don't see, I don't think they have enough star power. And, you know, I think Duncan Robinson and Tyler Hero are really good starters, but I don't think they're all-star caliber right now. Maybe for Tyler Hero, like maybe one or two all-star games. I mean, he's only 21, so he's got some years. He's going to be in the league for a year or so. Depends on what the talent is in the East. But, you know, I don't think it's a really grand slam that all these guys, the Heat are going to improve. I think they're just going to, you know, be worse. But, and the Raptors, I mean, they lost Ibaka and Marcus Gasol, and that's really it. Like, they're only getting older. I don't trust Siakam whatsoever. I just don't trust it at all. And Lowry's getting older. You know, they have some other guys that have some talent, but I don't think there's anything special there. Like, they don't have like a Michael Porter Jr. who could break out into a borderline all-star in this year. So, you know, I'm not crazy about them. Their defense is going to be worse. Sixers, very interesting team. I don't think they're contenders, but I think they're going to be very competitive. You know, think about, like, they got like shooters, but those shooters literally just shoot. You know, they're not like a Joe Harris where he could put the ball on the floor, he could pass a little bit, he could play a little defense.
Seth Curry showed me a little something last year where he does have a little bit of off the dribble stuff, but I know Danny Green does not, to your point.
Like, Seth Curry has been only playing like 20 minutes.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
So, you know, and he's like 30 years old, so it's not like he's you think for some reason, because you don't really hear of him that much. Like, before.
I would have guessed he was 27.
Yeah, exactly. Like, he's a lot older than people think, but he's been in the league for a while, and you know, I like him. I think it's a good pickup for sure, 100%. But, you know, I don't think, you know, Josh Richardson was a good player, but I guess he just didn't really fit the system. He was a fine shooter. He wasn't a good enough shooter. He wasn't that elite shooter that could really spread the ball.
To your point, it's like, I'm thinking that now you're going through this, I'm thinking, like, late in a playoff game for the Sixers, who the hell is going to get them points?
Who's going to take the last shot? Embiid?
Yeah. I guess
Tobias.
What?
Tobias, I guess.
Tobias, yeah. But it's like, so there you go. Therein lies the problem with the team, is that who do you turn for, or who do you turn to for a bucket at the end of a playoff game? He's like, oh, Tobias Harris? Like, is that team? If I just told you that, like, oh, when they need to get a bucket in the playoffs, they're going to Tobias Harris. Like, what would you say that team, like, you're like, oh, well, they're probably going to get knocked out in the first round at best.
Magic or something.
Yeah, exactly. Tobias should be on the Orlando Magic. Let's be honest. Let's just be honest. Tobias Harris should be on the Orlando Magic. He shouldn't. I know he was on the Magic, he was on the Pistons, but like, that's his destiny, is to be like a 20 point per game scorer on the Orlando Magic for like 10 years. That should have been his Paul Pierce of the Magic. Yeah, like, exactly. Like the Paul Pierce of the Magic, which, like, the Magic are, like, you know, a clear step down from the Celtics as like a team, and how capable they are and how good they are every year, just as far of a step down as Tobias is for Paul Pierce. But yeah. To the Sixers, it's like, I want to like the Sixers, but I don't like them as like a conference finals team. I like them as like a, okay, can they get to the second round and like put up a fight and lose in six games? So people are like, oh, you know, Ben and Joel look better together. They're still going to have to, Daryl Morey, work your magic and get Tobias off the team. That would be my.
I don't think he has to, though, because like, they could play basketball with him, and that's the thing. It would hurt more because they're not going to get a better player for Tobias.
I think that's the thing. I agree. For this season, I don't want them to trade Tobias, because I think in order to be the best team they could be, they need him. But I also think there's an alternate universe where you trade Tobias for like two guys who on like expiring contracts that add up, the money works, and then Tobias is gone, and then you can sign somebody. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, it's not necessarily trading Tobias for a player who's really good. It's trading Tobias for like contracts that are hopefully expiring, that, you know, could free up cap space. So you could basically...
Then they would have to give up a pick.
Well, I think they actually have some picks. I think that, well, we'll have to see what happens with James Harden. But I heard someone say on a podcast, like, actually, the Sixers have, you know, a little more draft capital, as the kids might say, to play with than people think. So, but then again, it, you know, it's just an idea, because it's like, I do think there's a hard ceiling with the current team. I mean, this is not a title team. With Joel, Tobias is just the wrong third. He's just the wrong third.
I would like him on the Jazz.
I would like him on the Jazz too, instead of Jordan Clarkson. Not that he would be the replacement, but even that, even like, even I would almost rather the Sixers. No, maybe it's stupid. I mean, Bogdanovich and Tobias, like, I wonder who's a better player. They're probably on the same level, you know, but no.
It's Tobias.
Yeah, I'm being a little unfair.
Bojan doesn't do anything outside of score.
Yeah, like, and he's Tobias plays a little defense.
Yeah, you know, he's a good shooter, but he's very streaky. And Tobias, you know, he could pass a little bit. He could a little post up. He's a good shooter. You know, I think Tobias gets the edge there.
Maybe this will be a year where Tobias like is like Diet Carmelo. You know, where he just does more of what he already, like, he doesn't have to necessarily get better, but just do more.
He's gonna get you 20 points.
What?
He's gonna get you 20 efficient points, nothing more, nothing less.
Yeah, okay. I'm fine with that. So, but yeah, the Sixers, hopefully they'll at least just look better. At least they'll be fun to watch, hopefully. Their offense won't be like a car crash, basically.
Well, so the Rockets basically leaked out that the Sixers have Ben Simmons on the table, most likely to try to up any other.
See, like, hey, any takers, fellas? We got Ben Simmons just fishing around the rest of the league. Like, hey, guys, Ben Simmons on the table. Anybody want to top that? It's like they're at an auction or something. But I just felt like if it's true, and of course, Daryl Morey came out and said, you know, we're not trading Ben. He's not on the table. But it was.
I don't listen to what he says.
Yeah, of course. Of course, he has to say that, and he always says that, said about Chris Paul. I just think if Ben Simmons is on the table, then why hasn't the trade gotten done yet? That would be my question.
I mean, they're definitely asking for more, but...
Oh, they can't. The Sixers, Daryl Morey is not going to go for that. He's not going to go for that. He's not trading Ben Simmons and like three first-round picks. He's not dumb enough to do that. And I think that would just be a dumb trade. Come on. I think we talked about this. Ben Simmons with the years on his contract, James Harden with the years on his contract, they're of basically equal value. Now, if you can get Harden to commit to sign long-term, maybe, but then again, we're talking about Paul George's contract and Drew Holiday's contract. How good is James Harden's next contract going to look? You know, if what are you going to give him? He's already in his early 30s. You're going to give him a 5-year deal? I don't know.
I think that, well, the thing is, I think that they would be contenders the next 2 years. Like, I would instantly, automatically put them in that top tier.
And if they swap Ben for Harden. Yeah, I agree.
So, you know, I think that's...
Is it worth it to be legit title contenders for 2 years? Because you may never be legit title contenders.
Oh, well, I mean, they call it Tobias too. So, I mean, they have like three guys. I mean, Embiid, Tobias, and Harden with some shooters. That's tasty, bro.
It is. They might be the favorites in the East if they did that.
Well, I think the Bucks would be there, but I think they would be like... I mean, like, I still think the... I mean, that would be tough. That's a tough team. That's a really good fit. I mean, listen, I said literally the day that Morey left, I text you, Harden for Simmons. And, you know, it might happen.
It just
and
like
I think
it makes too much sense, right? Like, it just sounds right. Like, yes, that makes sense for everybody.
But how, like, that's the thing. I think that if Ben Simmons is on the table, he's going to go to the Sixers. But why hasn't that been done? Deal been done yet? Like, the season's about to start,
and you're saying, like, oh, maybe the Rockets leaked it out, that because initially there was a report like, oh, they're moving beyond Harden's preferred teams, basically. Like, so I guess maybe that's Sixers and Nets, or maybe are we including the Bucks and the Heat? And there was even like a weird report like Duncan Robinson, the Heat don't want to include him. So it's like, oh, are there talks going on with the Heat? But I'm thinking, like, is it the Rockets trying to get more from the Sixers? Is it the Sixers saying, look, it's Ben, take it or leave it? There's just a weird game of chicken going on that, like you're saying, like, the season's right around the corner. You figured they would already work this out. You know, well, maybe they have worked it out. Maybe they've worked it out where the Rockets are like, we're not trading you Harden unless you give us, you know, a bunch of draft picks in addition to Simmons. And the Sixers are like, well, then we're not going to do that. And now the Rockets have to go, but what are the Rockets going to get better than Ben Simmons? I'm still that's what it comes down to. What are they going to get better than that from another team? Unless you're going to say Tyler Hero and Duncan Robinson. I mean, would you rather have Tyler?
I'd rather have the Nets package.
What? Yeah.
I'd rather have the Nets package.
Then, yeah, that's another thing. I don't necessarily think the Heat's package is better than the Nets. I think they're basically on equal levels, and it's like it depends on the eye of the beholder. But I would rather, have Simmons. Like, yeah, that's not even a question. Would Tyler Hero and Duncan Robinson or Ben Simmons? Like, come on. The Tyler Hero hype is getting a little out of control.
Yeah, but I would really like them. I mean, I think the Rockets would be a mess. John Wall, Ben Simmons, Boogie Cousins.
That would be the most gross team of all time.
But you have to get Ben Simmons.
Yeah, you don't really necessarily worry about, oh man, how many years is left on John Wall's contract? I think it's two more after this year. Because I'm thinking
three.
I'm thinking like, oh, you just get Ben Simmons and then like worry about it later. Like you don't have to factor in John Wall into your like long-term plans. But like you kind of do.
I would just give up. I would literally just trade. I would attach a pick to him.
To who?
John Wall. But next year after he shows something or at the trade deadline.
And he's got like 2 years left after that. I don't know. Is there going to be a team? I know he said like, but
the Hornets or something, like, you know, some team that's desperate for
relevance, basically.
For relevance, yeah. I there's always the one team that could do it.
Yeah, maybe. I guess I just think because I was saying like, oh, Russ, I don't think is tradable. But then it's like, it's almost not even a trade. That's more like a swap. You know, it's like John Wall and Russ weren't tradable until they got traded for each other. Because they're the only ways that they were going to get traded was that they each existed on separate teams. So it's like, I don't, unless it's just like, I don't know. Like theoretically, I don't want to rule out and say it's impossible that the Rockets could trade John Wall. But I'm like, it really would have to just be for another guy on a really crappy contract. Because there's like, yeah, like you said, maybe there's a team that's desperate for relevance. But I don't know. I'm not expecting John Wall to average like 20 points a game. Maybe he will. I don't know. Like, I don't.
20 is not that much in today's NBA.
Maybe he averages.
There's no one on the team if James Harden is there.
Yeah, you're right. No, okay, I scratch it. I take it back. You're right. If James Harden's not going to be there for, if not.
Or even if he is there, honestly, I think he'll get 20. Somebody
who else score.
Christian Wood. I mean, Christian Wood did well. So I'm looking at the NBA finals odds. So I'm just going to say it. I think the Wizards are ranked last in this tier.
What?
Warriors, Suns, Pelicans, Hawks. The Warriors are ranked last out of those. And I think the Wizards are better than all those teams. Again, that's the Suns, Pelicans, Hawks, and Warriors.
I think the Wizards are better than
people are really underrated. People are really underrating Russ and Bradley Beal. Bradley Beal, he put up insane fucking numbers, bro. Insane.
Didn't he average 30 points a game?
30 fucking points a game. Very efficient. And, you know, his defense wasn't great, but he actually is a good defender. But he's not playing defense on that team just because he has to do so much on the offensive end. But now he gets, like, Russ to take off some of the load. And Russ is going to get, you know, 25, like, 8-8.
I'm kind of excited for the Wizards. I'm going to be honest.
I think, like, honestly, like they really needed just something fresh.
They need a shot in the arm.
Like, just, yeah, exactly.
No pun intended, they needed the shot in the arm.
And I think this is going to be, I think they're going to be, you know, they have solid players around them.
Bertans, and the spacing.
Like, Russ and Bradley Beal are, I think, one of the best guard combos in the league. Who would you rather have, Bradley Beal and Russ, or Damian Lillard and McCollum?
Oof, that's tough. That's tough. I'll probably just go Dame and McCollum, even though I'm not a fan of that pairing, just because I think Dame is the best of the four. But CJ might be the worst out of the four.
Yeah.
I mean, who's better, CJ McCollum or Russ? I guess analytics people will be like, CJ, he's a great shooter. I don't know. I feel like Russ still brings some juice to the table. You know,
he brings the energy too. Like they were saying how, like, as soon as Russ got here, just the energy shifted, you know, in a positive way. Like, you know, they're here to play. And what's really interesting is like the Trailblazers are projected to go much further than the Wizards. Yet outside of Damian and McCollum, you know, their team really is kind of is weak. You know, they got Nurkic and Covington, but you know, they're fine starters. But you look at the Wizards, they got like Bertans and Thomas Bryant, some other guys. They got some nice pieces too. So I don't see, and the Trailblazers are playing the West. So why are the Trailblazers looked upon so much higher than the Wizards? Like the Russ hate has gone too far. And
I think the Suns might be better than the Wizards though. I agree with what you're saying, and I'm excited about the Wizards too, which is crazy to think about and say, but I think the Suns are going to be good. I think Chris Paul, it's the same thing with like Russ goes to the Wizards and like the vibe changes. Like Chris Paul, what?
How many games did the Suns win last year?
If I had to guess, what did they play? 72 games. They went on the 8 game. I don't know. What did they win? Like 24? That's probably way too low. 31 is my next guess.
Let me see.
24 was way too low. I think they won. No, but it was only 72 games.
34 and 39.
Okay. 31 was my a much more realistic guess.
Honestly, though, I honestly was thinking 20. I was thinking 20.
It doesn't make sense because they were in the bubble and they were like fighting for the eighth seed. That's when I was like, wait a second. And they're in the West. So they won 34. Why can't DeAndre Ayton, can he be like the new Tyson Chandler? Chris Paul is going to make him look better than he actually is. He did that with DeAndre Jordan. He did it with Tyson Chandler. And then Devin Booker playing with Chris Paul. I like that. Speaking of backcourt combos, that's a backcourt combo right there. And then, you know, they got Jay Crowder. They got some Cam Johnson last year. He's a shooter. You know, they have something. I'm liking the Suns.
How good is Devin Booker though?
You know,
That's really interesting.
I rank Devin Booker above Jamal Murray and Donovan Mitchell. I think of those three together, I group them together, and I think he's ahead of them.
Yeah, I mean, I would definitely Jamal Murray, and probably, I mean,
thank God Booker Jamal Murray doesn't listen to this podcast.
Booker has definitely been better than Mitchell. I mean, Booker has been, you know, 26.6 in back-to-back years. This year was much more efficient. Shot 49% from the field. He's pretty. Is he the most overrated three-point shooter in the league?
Yeah, he's like low 30s, right?
His career average is 35, and he shot 35, 32 in the last previous. He's basically averaged 33.5 from three last two seasons.
Could we see an uptick, though? Chris Paul getting him some catch and shoot, some open looks.
That's, yeah.
Yeah, could be.
Yeah, he's probably like more of a 38% shooter, but I mean, the numbers don't say that. Like,
yeah. Well, so how would you rank him? Just quick ranking of Bradley Beal, Donovan Mitchell, Jamal Murray, Booker. Throw Beal in there.
Oh, wait, the players or the guard combos?
No, the players. So Beal, Murray, Mitchell, Booker. Like the youngish guys hitting their prime who are like scoring guards, basically.
Beal, one.
Okay, interesting.
So Beal, Booker, Mitchell, Murray.
I would go Booker, Beal, and then Mitchell, Murray, I think are like so similar, but I would probably lean.
That's why I'm higher on Mitchell and I'm lower on Murray. So I flipped them.
Yeah. I would, the only difference I would have was I think Booker has, now maybe I'm being unfair to Bradley Beal.
He's been better than both of them for longer.
Well, you're saying than Mitchell and Murray? Yeah, he's more proven than them, definitely. So yeah, I think I'm excited to watch. I think the good thing about the NBA this year is that they're, and I'm not like an anti-tanking guy in terms of like, it is a good strategy, but let's be honest, when there's a bunch of crappy teams, it's not fun to watch. And I feel like this year the vast majority of the teams in both conferences are at least trying to be good basketball teams. So people are going to be games are going to be competitive. There's a lot of teams who are going to be on the cusp of the playoffs who think that they are playoff teams. So it's going to be brutal competition. Whereas it's like, oh, do the Suns want to miss the playoffs? No. Do the Kings want to miss the playoffs? You think, well, they are, but you know they're not just going to like roll over. They expect themselves to be like borderline playoff teams. The Spurs, you know, maybe you don't think they're good, but they're not going to be like tanking and just like, oh, let's win 20 games or something like that. It's really only the Thunder who are doing that. And you could say the same thing in the East when they're adding the Wizards and the Hawks. These are teams that expect to make the playoffs. Whether they're wrong or they're right, they're going to be trying to get in there, you know, by tooth and nail, whatever they can do. So it should be make for fun, entertaining season.
Yeah, I mean, there are no real tanking teams. Everyone is trying to be somewhat competitive.
Just the Thunder. The Thunder are tanking.
They have higher odds than the Cavs, Pistons, and Knicks.
Yeah, the Cavs and the Knicks are going to be two other ones. But I think that there's almost a difference between just sucking and tanking. Like I think
Pistons. I would put money on the Pistons. I think Blake Griffin looked really good.
Yeah, I don't know why the Pistons are grouped with those teams.
Yeah, I mean, I would put them in like that Bulls. That Bulls, I want to say Magic, just because like they're kind of relevant.
I think the Magic are not going to be good. I mean, they don't have Jonathan Isaac for like this whole year, right? So what are they? Aaron Gordon, Vucevic, they lost CJ Augustine. I think the Magic are going to be trash. I would put that in the group: Magic, Bulls, like Pistons.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much. Yeah, that's like they're not like the worst, but they're bad.
Yeah, they're the next level up from like the cellar. From
the Pacers are kind of interesting.
Pacers every year everyone just looks at the Pacers and they're like, oh, they're not that good, but then they do better than projections and expectations basically every year. So I don't know what to think. And they do have good play. Now I get it, really all hinges on Oladipo. What is he going to look like?
I think, and I believe in Oladipo.
I mean, I hope so. I'm rooting for him because you don't want to see a guy's career get screwed up, especially in his prime because of injuries. So I'm definitely,
yeah, I mean, they've been solid. So you know, Oladipo, I mean, Sabonis played phenomenal. I mean, they, you know, every year this seems to have like a different new player. Like it could be Brogdon, Sabonis, or Oladipo. So, I mean, they have like, you know, some solid pieces. And, you know, I like that they seem to be just competitive, you know, the last couple of years. So I don't see why that would change. You know, they're all healthy now. So we'll see what happens with that. But the Hawks, I keep saying it. The Hawks and the Pelicans, like, what is the hype?
Yeah, I don't get the Pelicans hype. I don't get them at all. I don't think they're going to be good.
Well, they had Steven Adams, and now it's like, oh, shit, they're doing
watch
it.
Watch out for those guys. They traded Drew Holiday. And so, oh, yeah. So what the hell is their team?
How they now there's projected to do better. So is Drew Holiday?
He was a problem. He's a locker room cancer.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, it's just so, what is it? Zion, Brandon Ingram, Steven Adams, and Lonzo? That's puke city. That's not going to be good. They're not going to be good. I'll say it right now. The Pelicans have a 0% chance of, well, they're not going to be one of the top 8 seeds. I'll tell you that for a 100% fact. Now, I didn't want to say make the playoffs because it's like, what if they're the 10th seed and then like the 8th seed, some guy, you know, breaks his ankle. So they you know, the Pelicans beat them two times in a row in the play-in, but the Pelicans are not going to be one of the top 8 seeds. No way. There's no shot unless other teams get just wiped out by COVID or something. They're not going to be good. How the hell are they going to be good? Seriously. Who do they have? And I guess it ties in with me not being a Brandon Ingram guy. I'm just not a Brandon Ingram guy.
I'm a Brandon Ingram guy, but I don't think that the rest of their team is that good. I think they're very young.
JJ Redick's still running around down there? Throwing the threes? Is he on that team?
I think he is.
Get him to a contender so he could hit some big shots.
Some relevant threes.
Yeah, I didn't understand the Steven Adams signing. It's like, oh, we have Zion. Let's put this big brick center block of a human.
I think it was in the Drew Holiday trade. They just like threw him in there.
They stuck him in. Nobody noticed. And then they signed him to a contract.
Pretty much.
And yeah, the Hawks, I don't think – it just irked me as someone who really shouldn't care. Just when there was like whispers like last year that like Trae Young's putting pressure on the Hawks organization. They better start winning or else he might start looking around. It's like, I don't know, dude. I don't know. I just think with Trae Young, he's an amazing offensive player, but if he's just going to be like the worst defensive player in the league for his whole career. Like, how good are you going to be? He's literally like a little chihuahua.
He's not going to get better.
Yeah, like, what is he? Is he going to just average like 36 points a game 1 year? Like, I don't. Like, he can't play defense. He's literally like 160 pounds.
He's what people think Harden is. Just like all offense and just terrible at defense.
Right, right, right. Yeah, and I don't understand. Like, he could try really hard on defense. It's not going to. People are just going to run by him. Like, he can't provide resistance. He's literally so small. How tall is Trae Young?
I think he's 6'2", yeah. 6'3".
It's honestly amazing that he is able to be so good at offense. That, honestly,
he has great passing ability, too.
Yeah, he is a really good passer. I just think there's something, maybe it's not fair because the numbers he puts up are insane. He's 6'1", apparently, damn. But it's just like, I think, like, if you had to guess how many points Trae Young scored per game last year.
Per game?
Per game, last year in the regular season. Well, they didn't make the playoffs, but...
28.
29.6.
Yeah.
Jeez! That is a lot.
On a 20-win Hawk team.
Yeah, damn. Like,
he was terrible, but... 20 wins?
I think there might be inflation going on with some of these numbers. I think they're... Something's up. I mean, are these... You know, we got Bradley Beal averaging 30 points a game. Trae Young averaging basically 30 points a game. You know, Luka Doncic is putting up, like, I saw, you know, the guy Haralabob, who works for the Mavs, but used to, it's like the gambler, he used to be on, like, Bill Simmons' podcast a couple times. Vaguely. He tweeted out, like, a highlight tape of Luka because he works for the Mavs. He's like, oh, just watching this. And it's, like, a game that Luka had against the Clippers, and it's, like, 37, like, 14 and 17 or something. Like,
dude, he put up the most ridiculous numbers.
Yeah, it's like, how is this even happening? I don't understand. These are like craziest numbers that you've ever seen in your life.
And it's not like you could take, like, for basketball, it's not like you could take steroids and just get better at basketball.
Right. Like, it's like, yeah, increase your free throw percentage by 10%.
Yeah. Like, it's that's the thing with like, the bubble. It's like, you can't just, like, something
happened. We don't know what happened exactly, but I know what you're saying. You can't totally write it off.
It can't be that fake. Yeah, you can't really write it off because it did happen.
We saw it with our eyes.
You can't cheat in basketball.
Yeah, you can't make it more likely that the ball goes into the hoop. But it was going into the hoop, it seemed, for a lot of guys very easily. But that's another thing. That's another watch. That's bubble watch. I'm watching AD's jumper this year. If he goes back to clanging things left and right, something's up. I mean, if Jamal Murray goes back to being like an average 3-point shooter instead of like diet dollar store Steph Curry, and some, I mean, Dame Lillard was, I mean, Dame is Dame, so maybe that's not fair. He's proven it outside the bubble, but there's some plays against the Lakers where he's like pulling up from basically half court. It's like, what am I even watching right now?
Well, we're going to see, you know, now we get a full season with no fans. So now everyone gets a shot at this, and if this is like if it's true that you just play better without fans, you shoot better without fans, we're gonna see the most insane numbers we've ever seen.
People might push back and say it was less of the fans and more the fact that there was no travel. Like, people were just going back to their hotel room after games. You could get a perfect night's sleep. You're not changing
at the same time. There's less partying.
That's true. Because
you just can't. You just can't.
Unless you're James Harden, unless you're just going to battle through it.
Yeah, I mean, but, you know, certain places, I guess.
Yeah, but I know what you're saying. On road trips, you're not going to be, you know, out and about on the town. I think it's safe to say that numbers will be better.
Okay, so players that can average 35 this year. Giannis, Harden, Luka, Lillard. And that's probably it.
That's probably the four. Yeah, I would say if I mean, 35 is just a shocking number because it's really like Harden, Wilt Chamberlain, like Michael Jordan, and I don't even know. Like, did Kareem ever average 35? Kobe had 1 year with 35. But yeah, I mean, those are the guys where you could fathom that they even get to that level. And probably for like someone like Dame, it would be like CJ gets hurt or something, and Dame just has to carry the load completely. Luka, I mean, who even knows what Luka's numbers are going to look like? He's so good. He doesn't even have a ceiling, honestly. His ceiling is, you know, Bill has been, you know, just, you know, bigging up Luka as much as you can. But he's saying, like, oh, Luka could be one of the greatest players of all time. I think what I will...
I 100% agree.
What I will say is that his ceiling basically is top five. In terms of, I don't think he could, and this is just sounds so ridiculous to say as somebody's ceiling, you might as well say they have no ceiling, but I think he could get onto Magic Johnson, Larry Bird's level. But I do not think that he could get to like LeBron Jordan, and like Kareem. Sure, I'm not going to pretend that I watch Kareem and stuff, but I don't, but I heard about him. Apparently he was tall, apparently pretty good at basketball.
Basketball.
Yeah, so he's like this big guy blocking shots. So he was pretty good apparently. But the only reason I say that is because I just don't see a scenario where Luka is ever the defensive player that LeBron and Jordan were. You know, so he's never going to be a lockdown defender. So then, therefore, how could he ever be as good as LeBron or Jordan? He would basically have to be a clearly better offensive player than either of them. Which is like, how much even room is there beyond what Jordan and LeBron did to be better on offense than they did? Maybe there's a little smidge right above them that you can get to, and maybe Luka's stat lines will be way better because teams are scoring more and shooting more threes, but I just don't think he can close the gap defensively. So to answer the question, what is his ceiling? His ceiling is to be like the fifth best player of all time. His ceiling, if everything goes as possibly right as it possibly can, which it probably won't because that's life, is that people are talking about he has a credible argument to be better than Larry Bird and Magic Johnson, which is about as good as you could ever ask for.
He averaged 29, 9-9 at age 20.
15. Yeah.
Second year.
Yeah. That's sick. That is sickening.
That's fucking insane.
That's sickening. And even, and remember the game winner he hit against the Clippers? That was,
that's, that was a moment. Like,
That was legendary. Even though they lost, even though it was in the first round, that was insane. He hit a step back three, and he's not even a good 3-point shooter. If he, the thing about it is that his,
he can though. He has it. He know he's got. He has it. He's gonna
skill.
Get.
He has a skill, so I hope he gets there. What worries me a little bit is he's got a little LeBron in him with the free throw line, where he's not a bad free throw shooter, but you know, randomly yeah. It'll be the third quarter. And he's like 6-for-11 from the free throw line. You're like, dude, what the hell is going on? His motion, I think his motion needs to be a little bit tweaked. And since he's such like clearly a savant at basketball, I have faith that he could figure it out. And I'm agreeing with you in terms of he has that upside to become a really good shooter. But if his motion is kind of like a, it's like a rhythm motion, where it's like he's not like a Ray Allen, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, where they just have this The weird thing about Steph is he doesn't really have a perfect shooting motion, but Klay Thompson, Ray Allen, where they're just textbook form and they can just repeat it over and over and over again. Luka's is like consider close in your head. Try to imagine Luka shooting a catch and shoot three. What does that even look like? You know what I'm saying? We're just so used to him dribble, 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 crossover. Let me get in a rhythm. And his shot kind of like flows up. And that's why I feel like he struggles from the free throw line. Cause you can't really get into a rhythm or a flow while you're at the free throw line. It's all like textbook fundamentals. Is your elbow tucked in? Da 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 da. So like, I can't even imagine Luka getting kicked the ball out behind the 3-point line and taking a catch and shoot three. What does that even look like? So that's my only concern, is that his form might not lend itself to being like 38% from three. But I could be totally wrong. In 2 years from now, we're talking about him and he's like a 40% 3-point shooter. Could be.
No, yeah. I fully believe that he's going to be a 40% three-point shooter. You know, I think in a couple of years, he's just going to constantly progress. I mean, that's really, besides defense, he really has no holes in his game.
No,
I mean,
he doesn't.
Considering that he has the ball so much, four turnovers is not a lot.
No, that's like a standard. That's like your LeBron number. That's like your James Harden number. That's like a...
Harden has like seven.
Not per game, yeah. Though.
It's, let me see. It's something ridiculous.
I mean, it might be like 4.5 or something some seasons, but like 4 is like up, an up there number, but you're not going.
I'm pretty sure he averaged 7 one season.
No.
But he had the ball so much, so
dude,
it's not like
dude,
detrimental.
I'll literally bet you $1 trillion that James Harden has never averaged over 5.5 turnovers per game. Never mind 7. I'll literally bet you $1 trillion. I'm going to go to his basketball reference. Are you there?
5.5. 5.5 one year.
No way. Really?
Yeah.
That's the exact number. Yeah. Did I say over a 5.5? Because if I said 5.5.
Yeah. You kind of fuck yourself. Well, if you stay with 7, you would have been right.
And that,
but if you since you went with 5.5, you got it wrong.
Well, yeah, 5.7. So I owe you $1 trillion, I guess. So fuck, I'm on the hook for that. That's tough. But yeah, I was trying to do the calculation in my head. I knew I would be right if I said 7, but I wanted to twist it a little more. I was like, should I say 6? I pushed it.
I got cocky.
And I got caught for it. I tried to price-search write it, and I overshot it. But damn, 5.7, that is an insane amount of turnover. That's way too much. But yeah, the original point of Luka, yeah, he doesn't turn it over a crazy amount for someone who has the ball. He doesn't have any holes. You're right. He's an incredible – he's one of the best passers you're ever going to see in your entire life. He's obviously a great scorer. I mean, really just think about – like, do you even think about Luka as, like, a great scorer? It's kind of like the LeBron thing that's like a cliche at this point. It's like LeBron scoring isn't even the best thing that LeBron is good at, his passing. Yeah. But Luka has the same thing where his passing just like smacks you in the face because 3-4 times a game, you're like, well, that's one of the best passes I've ever seen. But then he also just casually is like scoring 30 points a game. So he's objectively one of the best scorers in the NBA and objectively one of the best passers in the NBA. And also a really good rebounder, especially for someone who's like theoretically, like basically playing point guard. What do they list his position as on Basketball Reference? Luka. I mean, do they call him like a small forward?
Rookie year, he was a shooting guard, and this year he's a point guard.
So he's a point guard who averages. He's clearly got to be the best rebounding point guard. I mean, I guess it's him and Russ, right? So it's just like, where's the hole? The hole is his defense, and his threes, his free throws, and his shooting. Well, I guess threes, free throws would be shooting. I meant defense. But I don't. When I watch his defense, it's not like he's a liability. Like I don't look at him as like, oh, he's really killing the team on defense. And especially he's so big, like it's almost like there's a certain level where it's like if you're a smart player like he is, and you're that size, it's almost impossible for you to be bad on defense unless you're like trying to like fuck up on defense on purpose, which obviously he would never do. He's so good, man. I actually totally forgot in this whole hype for the season. I almost forgot that he existed, which doesn't make any sense because I knew like the Mavericks. I'm thinking like, oh, the Mavericks are like the dark horse contender. But for some reason, I just wasn't even like locked in on Luka and like that he's just like going to be one of the best players ever. It's great.
I would really – if Kristaps was – if he was healthy –
oh.
I would put money on Mavericks championship.
I want Kristaps just I don't know how to phrase this, but I really it would be on one of my top few NBA wish lists in terms of like LeBron obviously winning another title, something like that. That's always gotta be up there. But Kristaps having a healthy career or as healthy as like is reasonably possible. I just really do not want Kristaps' career to be screwed up completely by injuries because he is really, really good. He's obviously not even close to Luka's level, but I really think in his prime, he could be in like top 10 player in that top 10 to 12 range, which is like more than enough as a partner for Luka. Like, I really think Kristaps is that good. And I just, I'm not going to accept the basketball gods screwing up his career. So get it together, guys.
I think, yeah. So, if the Mavericks, like, if they were healthy, I mean, for them to win a championship this year, hypothetically, they would need two things. Kristaps to basically play at the highest level of his career, which is absolutely feasible if he's just simply healthy. And then Luka to just have another breakout, which is actually probably going to happen. He's going to jump from, you know, 29 to 35 a game, especially this year with Kristaps out. And this is year three, which is historically the breakout season. It's usually year three.
He's only after 21. This is only his age 21 season.
He's literally going to have another breakout. Like if he's this good now, he's going to get another level higher. Like what Giannis did originally, he just broke out to like 25 a game 1 year. And then it was like, wow, he's really good. Then it was like, boom, 30 a game. Like that's what Luka's going to do this year on top of 29 a game. So he's going to average 35, especially now that Kristaps is out. And, you know, I think he's, if he is as potentially legendary as, you know, what we are saying, then he's going to have to go into that tier where whatever team he's on, you can't rule them out to going deep into the playoffs, the finals. I think like he's the closest, like I would put like in recent history, KD, LeBron, and
Steph. You still got to put Steph. I'm a Steph guy.
We're not, but this year you just said that you don't think they're going to be that good. So how could he be in that conversation?
I just think the team's really crappy around him this year. And I think he's not in his prime anymore.
So do you have doubts? Do you think that he could possibly go to the title, the finals?
Wait, maybe I'm confusing what the initial idea was. I thought we were talking like guys in recent history who, if they're on your team, you have a title chance.
Yeah.
But what I don't think Steph, yeah, I guess, but I guess it's within reason because it's like,
It's yes or no, though.
Yeah, like,
If it's a decent team around him, like if it's feasible, like it's not like if you put Luka on like the Knicks right now that, you know, he could go to the
finals.
But
I guess what I'm saying is I guess I'm disagreeing that I think they're title contenders. I think they're dark horse title contenders, but the Mavs are not winning the finals. But that would be more room for Steph's argument where it's like, well, Steph's team's going to be crappy this year. But it's like, well, if you put prime Steph on the Mavericks, could they be a dark horse title contender? Yeah. So that's why I still put him there.
Okay. Okay. That's fair. But yeah, I mean, Luka's going to be fucking amazing.
Yeah.
And I mean, I kind of regret that. I mean, like if I were to put money down, I think Luka is going to get the MVP. But you know, I like now that Kristaps is out, I'm just like, now that I'm just like talking through it, I mean, Luka should just be the overwhelming, like with Giannis voter fatigue, Luka is just gonna, I mean, he's gonna have a breakout year. He's gonna put up insane number without Kristaps out, and he's just gonna dominate, and it's gonna be insane stat lines, like 35, 10, and 10. Shit we've never seen before.
If you had to guess how old Kristaps is, what do you think?
26.
He just turned 25. He is also super young, which is great. That's why, fingers crossed, that
combo is so tantalizing.
It's so awesome. It's so awesome. And it's such like a random team where it's just like they're just two. I mean, has there ever been a team where their two best players were two European guys? Like what teams like that have been like that through NBA history?
I'm thinking just guys like first European, you just think Dirk, and then it's like, does he have a second?
Did he have
one?
A second Euro with him? And it's like, no.
Yeah. Well,
the Spurs, but Tim Duncan's not European. He's from like the Virgin Islands.
Well, what about when he got older? It was Tony Parker was the best player on that team.
Yeah, but then I don't think there was ever a time where Tony Parker and Manu Ginobili were the two best players. I think when the team got older, you're right. Tony Parker was like their main guy, especially on offense. But then Kawhi would be the second guy, probably. And also Manu's from South America, but I feel like it still counts. I just don't think, I mean, I guess the Kings back in the day, Vlade Divac, Peja, but even then it's like Chris Webber was their best or you know, player. So, I mean, this could be a unique. I don't think this really ever happened before, just thinking about it out loud. And they're also a perfect match. Where Kristaps can protect the rim, but he's also space on the floor. Like Kristaps is huge; he's 7'3". They could have beat the Clippers if Kristaps didn't get ejected and Luka wasn't hurt. That would have been awesome.
Yeah,
first round upset. Oh man, that would have been awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, Luka looks so good, and he did that without Kristaps, which is. I was just sold, and with the game-winning shot.
The whole team on his back, and it's like this team that was at the time supposedly a title contender, they couldn't do anything with him.
Let's put it this way. I was all in on Luka, and then when I saw him in the playoffs, I took out a loan to just go even more.
Yeah, right, exactly. From the NBA basketball gods or whatever, you're like selling your furniture in your house so you can get a little more juice on him. That's great. That's a great analogy. Definitely. I'm definitely as much in, however in you can be on Luka. That's I mean, the thing is that also he seems like, I don't know, like, I don't think, I'm just thinking only injuries could stop him at this point. Like, nothing is going to stop him. There's going to be no season where it's like, oh, Luka's struggling. He's really struggling to figure out defenses. Like, that's never going to happen.
He's had some, like, little tic-tac injuries where it's kind of held him out like 20% of the games, like, both seasons, which is a little, you know, it's something to monitor. Yeah. But otherwise, you know, it could just be fluky. You know, you don't know. I mean, he's played a lot of basketball. You know, he was on that European team, and, you know, he was fighting for championships, and he won. Like, he's been playing competitive basketball for years now, and he's still only, I mean, he's only 21, but, you know, maybe it just takes his body is just adjusting, you know, who knows, but, you know, definitely all in on Mr. Luka Doncic. And, you know, if Kristaps gets healthy, hopefully by the All-Star break, you know, they could have a Nuggets like playoff run.
How about like a second round matchup, like Lakers versus Mavs, LeBron versus Luka, I don't even know, I was trying to think of Star Wars terms, the old Jedi versus the young something. I don't even know the terms well enough, but yeah, that's just, that'd be great. That would just be, it wouldn't even be a passing of the torch because the Lakers would probably win, but it'd just be like, we need that. You know, we never got the Kobe LeBron finals. We need to get like a LeBron Luka playoff matchup while they're both really good. Not like, oh, 3 years from now when LeBron's like, I mean, even though it's like LeBron, I guess, is just never not going to be one of the best players, but you get my point.
Yeah. I definitely agree. What other teams we got?
I don't know. I feel like, have we given the East enough love? I feel like we just...
I do have to say, like, some of the highlights that we're seeing from LaMelo Ball are really...
The pass that he made the other day was insane. The
pass. That,
he put, like, side spin on it. Like, the way he throws it, but it looks like it's too in front of the guy, but it, like, it sort of hits the ground softly spins back right in stride to him. That's insane.
That is next level.
It is next level. Like, how many... I don't think I've seen like LeBron make a pass like that in transition. And I'm not saying he's a better passer than LeBron, but I don't know if I ever seen a pass like that. Maybe Magic Johnson or something.
And what's so striking about it is his confidence.
So casual.
Like, this is just what he does.
Yeah.
And I think that is what he does. Like, this is a second preseason game and he's doing passes like that.
Yeah.
Like, that's just like perfect. It was absolutely perfect. Like, just doing, first of all, if you're not doing a hard pass, it's very likely to be
intercepted.
So he just nailed this like perfect soft pass right to the defender's fingers, and he just rolled it up uncontested. I mean, and like he's been having great passes. His lines have been like all over the place, but just like from what we're seeing, like the flashes. That's the thing. We look for flashes for these young guys. And he's showing flashes, and I'm very excited now. Like, I don't care if it's preseason or not. Like, just looking at these things, he looks.
And really whoever good. Thought to be excited about anything to do with the Charlotte Hornets, you know? But it's like they have something going on there. They have like a little spark where I mean, LaMelo. When I saw that pass, I was like, wow, that's. I don't know. It almost like it tricks your mind because he does it so casually. When I first saw it, I'm like, oh my God, that's incredible. But then I almost psyched myself out. I'm like, well, was it that good? He kind of just flung it. But then I'm like, no, this is insane. Like you said, it's a way that it doesn't get intercepted. Like, he was throwing it between basically two defenders. If it's a little, you know, to the left or behind the guy he's throwing it to, it's going to get picked off by the defender who's chasing him. But there's also a defender like in the paint who, if it was too high in the air, he could have just grabbed it because he's throwing it across court. It's like, what? And meanwhile, they're moving like full speed. What the hell was that? I need to go back and watch this pass.
I'm watching it now. It's so It doesn't make sense. Like, that's just a hard pass just to do accurately.
Like normal. Just, like a normal pass. Because like, you're probably going to have to throw it overhand to, like, get the bounce. Like, I don't think you could chest pass that.
And you can't really get a good grip on the ball when you're throwing it like that, like on the
side.
He
threw it like that on the side because he knew that's the spin that it needed. Oh, my God. Nah, that's crazy. That is crazy.
That is, that's just a sick, like, could he be the greatest passer of all time?
I mean, maybe. I mean, it's one of the greatest passes I've seen. Oh, man.
I mean, for real, I mean, he's, he's not doing much else, but.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, is he just, if he's going to shoot like 4 for 15 every game and like have 6 turnovers, he's really just going to be like a Harlem Globetrotter. Like, not even good, but just like some nice highlights, which whatever. Maybe that's good enough.
Maybe that's his destiny.
Maybe he'll get jersey sales for the Hornets. I don't know. They're not going to win the title basically ever. I mean, is how many years would the earth have to exist for the Charlotte Hornets to like win the NBA championship? could you, if you said the NBA is going to exist 300 years from now, can you say with confidence, like, oh yeah, the Hornets have won a title?
I think they would be like a different franchise.
Yeah, they moved. They moved to Mars by then. Yeah, what a pass! What a pass! So hopefully, just learn how to make your shots, LaMelo. Come on, man. He did have one preseason game where he hit like 4 threes, but is he just going to be like Lonzo, where he has the confidence, but he's not good? Even though Lonzo got better, but like in his rookie season and like his second season, Lonzo would have games where he shot like 2 for 11 from 3, where it's like, dude, like I don't know if this is going to work out if you keep doing this.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see what happens with him. What do you think is the more popular jersey, Lonzo Ball or LaMelo?
It's definitely going to be LaMelo. Definitely. I mean, LaMelo is just way – he's cool. Way more popular. Like, I mean, does LaMelo have more Instagram followers than Lonzo? Maybe. Probably not, but
– I don't know, bro. He's been I think he's been famous for a while, since he was 16,
LaMelo. LaMelo Ball.
Like, as soon as Lonzo got popping in college, like, that's when everyone started looking at
LaMelo. LaMelo Ball has 6.1 on Instagram. I think Lonzo definitely has less than that. I would be shocked. Lonzo Ball somehow has 9 million followers on Instagram. What?
Kyrie has 50 million. Yeah. All right. Yeah, 50 million.
Yeah, that's crazy. Okay, maybe I'm underestimating him. NBA
followers are really – NBA players get a lot of Instagram followers, not so much Twitter.
You want to know who gets the most followers on social media? Soccer players. Yeah, so here's this is just a quick side tangent that I'll just touch on briefly. There's a guy, my favorite soccer team is Manchester United, and there's a player on Manchester United who is basically, I would compare him to Tyler Wade in terms of, he's like the Tyler Wade of Manchester United. He's like a young player who's not really that good, but he's super fast. He's like Tyler Wade's profile is what I'm saying. And Tyler Wade has 40,000 Twitter followers, right? And yeah. This guy has 750,000. So think about the Tyler Wade of a soccer team has 750,000 Twitter followers. Like, people, I don't think people in America appreciate how insanely popular soccer is. We're like the bit players on the teams have like millions of followers. It's crazy.
Yeah, they do get like, yeah, I guess they do.
Like, I'm going to look up his name is Dan James. He's not even that good. Dan James Instagram, 1.8. Okay, I mean on Instagram. I mean that's still an insane. I mean if Tyler Wade had 2 million followers on Instagram, wouldn't you be like, what the hell? But yeah, sidebar. Quick sidebar.
Yeah, I mean, LaMelo. I think he'll probably win Rookie of the Year. I guess. I don't know. Who knows? I mean, he's also in passing, but like, he hasn't done much else.
Yeah. Well, so interesting. We'll Rookie of the Year is an interesting one. I don't even have a prediction because I don't even know enough about these guys. I guess what I would hope for was LaMelo to win it, because that would mean that he's good. So I guess that's what I'm rooting for.
What else? What are the teams we got?
The Giants are losing 20-3 to the Cleveland Browns, in case anyone cares. This was me the lone Giants fan crying out in the wilderness as the Giants were like winning games and people were getting excited. Like, why are we excited about this, guys? We could have got a top draft pick, but whatever.
Yeah. Do you have any hot takes for the season?
Hot takes. I feel you don't think my Charlotte Hornets will never win an NBA title for all of eternity. I thought that one was pretty spicy. I'm trying to think. Hot takes. I guess one thing. How about I'll pick? I don't even know if I believe it, but I guess I'll pick. I'm just going to look at the standings. I'm going to pick a playoff team from last year in each conference that I think will not make the playoffs. I'm just going to do it. I don't even know if it's going to happen, but I'm going to commit to. It'll give me something to almost root for or root against. So I'm not going to bet against the Raptors because. Oh, no, they're showing me the preseason
series. That came to my mind,
because Nick Nurse, I feel like, is just going to do his magic, and it's like...
Yeah, you thought that with the Celtics, too, right? With Brad Stevens, and then now...
But, look at that. But they're still going to be... I'm saying to make the playoffs. I'm saying missing the playoffs. Right. But the Celtics are going to make the playoffs, dude. You don't think the Celtics are going to make the playoffs?
No, of course not. They're going to make the playoffs.
Yeah. The West... Well, the Thunder is an easy one. How about... How about the Blazers don't make the playoffs? Screw it. Going. I mean, hey, so what?
That's really not. I don't think that's.
But people.
It's really not. Objectively, they didn't get that much better.
But people are talking like they could be the 3 seed. I think some people are high on that.
Exactly. I think that's absurd.
Yeah. Okay. Fair. I have to go spice here.
That's me personally, though. Like everyone else is saying.
The Phoenix Suns will get home court advantage in the Western Conference playoffs.
That's a hot take.
Okay. Now,
that's a hot take.
I think now, okay, granted, obviously, you have to make a bit wild predictions where it's like, what are the odds of that happening? Probably low, but that's something that I think is in within the realm of possibility of it could actually happen. You know, where it's not 0%, where it's like, okay, that could be above 10%. This is how you give a hot take, by the way. You make sure you say it and then walk it back and say, I don't actually think this is likely to happen. Here are the percentages. That's from a professional hot take guy. That's definitely how you want to do it.
From the ultimate hot take guy, Luka's going to average not only get MVP, but he's going to get average 35, 10, and 10.
Yeah, that's a hot take.
The first 35-point triple-double ever. And for decades to come.
Yeah, I mean, that is a hot take. Even when you're saying, I mean, because it does make sense where you're thinking, well, if Kristaps going to miss time, he's going to have to score a bunch of points. Okay, that's a good one. Okay, well, we'll go rapid fire. I'm trying to think one, unless you have another one to spit out. I'm trying to think one.
I'm rolling through them now.
The Miami Heat will miss the playoffs. <I'm kidding>. That's too much. That's it. But I can see them missing the playoffs if Bam or Jimmy misses like 20 games, you know?
It's not as sexy if you just say like the Heat aren't going to be like a 6 seed. So it's like you have to go like a little bit extra. Yeah, it's like, you know, it's like just taking like a picture for Instagram. And then you start like you're about to do it like raw or unfiltered. And then you're like, oh, let me add like, you know, tits to my picture or something
right.
That. Enhance a little bit, but it's, you know, it's a little bit too much.
A little bit. But how about the Warriors are I'm going a bad one for the Warriors. I don't know. The Warriors are not even going to make the play-in, so they're not even going to be the 10th seed. What is that? How many seeds are there in each conference? 15?
Yeah.
So that would literally – so the Warriors, that would make them one of the 11, 12, 13, 14 bottom five teams in the West. Boom. That's pretty high.
Bottom five. Hot take, the Nets win the finals. Is that a hot take?
I don't think it's hot. I think it's probably lukewarm. I don't actually listen to like podcasts and stuff like that. I don't hear too many people actually picking them. So that's what makes me think it's not like the Lakers are going to win the title. Hot take. It's not like that. Obviously I don't think it's full on hot take, but it's also not like a cold take where everyone agrees. So I'll allow it. I think that's allowable.
I mean, I think Steph might break his own record again for threes.
Oh, that's averaged, a good one.
I think he averaged like 13.7 per 100 possessions on threes in the preseason. So obviously it's a very small sample size, but it's a trend to monitor. And I think that it kind of makes sense that, you know, he's just going to shoot threes like never before and just take it to another level. He might shoot 15 threes a game. Why wouldn't he?
He should.
Why shouldn't
he? I think it'd be kind of cool just to see how far can you push it. Like, why not? Let's just see what happens if the greatest shooter of all time just shoots an insane amount of threes. Like, why hold back?
If he does.
I don't think he has it in him, though. I just don't think he has it in him. I think he's too, like, nice. He's too, like, pass, like, get everyone involved. I love my teammates, which makes him a great teammate. But I don't think he has that, like.
I think he should.
It would be fun.
For 1 year.
Because, and maybe you could argue that's probably. You're helping the team, bro.
The best way.
Yeah, it's like the Steve Nash thing. It's like he has regrets. He didn't shoot more because he was too unselfish. Yeah. It's like the best thing for the team is for you to shoot, dude, sometimes.
Side note, Steve Nash was so fucking efficient. It was insane.
Yeah, he's like 50, 40, 90 basically every year, wasn't he?
Every year. It was really incredible. And he aged gracefully. I mean, he won an MVP at like 33 years old. That's incredible for a short guard. But
Steve Nash is one that would be good to see him play in today's era where it says more flow. And I mean, he's like the revolutionizer of that. But you got another hot take, though? Steve Nash, I also like that Steve Nash is in the mix and involved on a relevant team, and he's just randomly the coach in the Nets. I think that's sick.
If Steph does shoot somehow 15 threes a game or something like that, something crazy, we could definitely put him in that candidate to average 35 this season.
Yeah, I think there's,
you have to, like, he's going to shoot like 45%, 40%.
Yeah, and he always does. I think there's a space for a hot take of number one seed in the West that's not Clippers or Lakers. I don't think I think you said maybe Nuggets are an outside chance. That would probably be a hot take. But I think the thing is with hot takes, it's so tough where it's like, what am I going to say? Oh, the Utah Jazz are going to be the number one seed. It's like, I don't believe that.
I don't believe that either. I mean, like the Luka thing, I believe. I actually truly believe that. That's why. But it's like a hot take because it's pretty extreme.
I might see the Raptors to miss the playoffs if they didn't have Nick Nurse, because he's just too good of a coach. But it's like you said, it's like they lost Serge, they lost Marc Gasol. So like, is Kyle Lowry still good enough to be the best player on your team? Are we? And we don't trust Siakam to be the best player on a team yet. So like, why?
Serge Ibaka and Marc Gasol, like, they're defensive anchors. Like, that's huge. How good is like Fred VanVleet and Lowry and Siakam?
And it's like, if you're,
I think they're going to make the playoffs.
But it's like, if you're the sixth or seventh seed, like, like if you're healthy and you just, your normal season prediction is like they're going to be the sixth seed, then it's not crazy to say, well, if you get hit by injuries a little bit, all of a sudden you're like the eighth seed. You know, and if you're the eighth seed, then you're close to being the ninth seed, you know? So it's not crazy. Because I think I would say, like, oh, the Pacers are going to miss the playoffs. It's like, the Pacers aren't relevant enough where that's even enough of a hot take. Like, that should be a hot take, but nobody even cares. So it's like, you can't burn people with that because they're like, what, the Pacers? But shout out to the Pacers. I mean, they're good every year. I'm not hating on them. I wish Gordon Hayward went to the Pacers, by the way. He's just, you know, it's a white guy, kind of fits the vibe. But anyway, go ahead.
It's kind of interesting, but I think that Spencer Dinwiddie and Caris LeVert are going to shoot 38% from three this season.
That's a niche Nets one. I like it, though. 38% from three. What are their careers, each of them?
So they're pretty low. They're low 30s. Let me just see. Spencer Dinwiddie. Let me get the exact numbers, because I know Spencer shot like 32% from three last
season. If I'm thinking, I want to say Caris is like 33, 34. And Spencer is right. Low 30s. I mean, that's a hot take to say two career low 30s 3-point shooters are going to be in the high 30s.
Yeah. I was going to say 40%.
That would be extremely hot.
Now, since I'm doing hot takes, I guess it would be, I would say 40%.
Maybe we have to give one flaming take before the end of the pod, or one nuclear take.
Okay.
Nuclear take. I'm trying to just think of one. I'm looking at all the teams.
We gotta like absorb, because this, if we're going nuclear, I mean, we gotta go
seriously nuclear. I mean,
something, you know, that can happen, but it's very unlikely. But it can happen.
It was something like, I think the Nuggets winning the title would be a nuclear take, but I don't even want to commit. That's not the one I want to put my wagon behind. or hitch my wagon to, I think is probably more of the phrase.
I'm just thinking of like every team that I'm high on.
I think James Harden winning MVP would be a nuclear one. You know what? That's what I'll go with. I'll say James Harden. I don't think it's that nuclear. Really? I think if you said, what are his odds to win MVP? Maybe he's just so motivated by the haters. I would say, how about this? James Harden gets traded but wins MVP on his new team. You're right. It's not nuclear enough. Nuclear has to be almost like it's like a nuclear apocalypse. It's never going to happen.
Like Damian Lillard winning
MVP. I don't think that would be nuclear.
Okay, all right. Then
we have to hit nuclear, man. No, nuclear would be like, you know, the Pacers are going to win the finals. Nuclear.
Yeah. Like that's like, I guess like nuclear – because, like, some things, like, literally just won't happen. Like, you can't just say, like, the Knicks are going to make the playoffs.
Nuclear. I mean, nuclear bombs, how many times have they been dropped? Twice, right? On Japan in World War II. So it's something that's really only happened twice in all of history. So somebody's going to average 40 points a game? Maybe. That would be true. That would be a nuclear. If you said Luka's going to average 40, that would definitely qualify as nuclear.
That would be nuclear. And honestly, I honestly think that is in the range of possibilities. Like, I think as high as you could, if you go as high as like 40, I could definitely. He could truly smash records. I think, I don't even know, like subconsciously, I was just like tweeting, like, I wasn't even like going through like my head, but it was just like players, I'm not even talking to myself, but like players don't want, I don't remember.
See if we could rescue it. It was high points, Luka smashing records, putting up huge numbers subconsciously.
Something with like the Hall of Famers, like basically. Oh yeah, it was the shooting in the bubble thing.
Okay.
It was like players aren't going to say that it's easier to shoot without fans because then, you know, the narrative, like the new theme is going to be that this season doesn't count because there's no.
It's too easy. They want to still be like impressive.
There'll be like some asterisk when Luka. And then I said, like, when Luka's breaking records. And this was before I really came to the fact that Luka is going to absolutely dominate this year. Absolutely fucking dominate. And now I'm kind of torn because I have a fantasy draft tomorrow and I have the number 2 pick. And let's say Kevin Durant is like the number, I could get him at like 10. And I have the number 2 pick. So I don't really, I want to root for him, but then like, now I'm thinking like Luka is going to absolutely, he could have like just the greatest season statistically ever. Like it's hard for me, to go with like just my flaming hot take or my favorite fucking player.
Or your flaming hot heart.
But yeah, Luka is going to end worlds. Like that's like, it's like, so that's a true nuclear take because it could absolutely,
there's going to be a global emergency.
It's going to cause like issues. That's what it is. You know, it's just absolutely possible. I'm trying to think of like any others, but like, that's like, cause it's hard to really have like something that's so far fetched, but is actually possible. Like the Bulls aren't going to make the finals. Zach LaVine is not going to win MVP.
Yeah, I was going to say Russ so winning MVP.
That's a nuclear take, and that actually is, it's potential.
It has like a 2% chance of where it's like, okay, that's actually one that's within the realm of possibility. It's not going to happen, but it's like not a 0% chance.
Because I like Towns winning MVP.
Towns, I mean, that would be definitely, that would qualify as nuclear. Or how about, that's another team I'm down on. The T-Wolves are going to, they're going to suck.
No, we talked about this though. I mean, they got better.
I think you're higher than I am. I saw Anthony Edwards. What's he up to in the preseason? I saw like one highlight where he was knocking in threes, but.
Apparently his numbers are bad. Like I've looked at them, very inefficient.
That makes me feel good because I watch his stats. I watch his highlights from Georgia. I'm like, this guy doesn't know shit about basketball.
I didn't believe him. I didn't like him. And then he came out with the whole I don't really like basketball thing. And
I want to do opera. Or I want to do music.
I kind of, yeah, he wanted to do music or play football.
Imagine you're the owner. Like, let's say the GM. Maybe the GM, like, knew this stuff. But imagine, who's the Glenn Taylor? Is he the owner of the T-Wolves? And you're worth, like, $3 billion. And you just wake up one day and you just sign some guy to a $30, $40 million contract, whatever. And you see some quotes where he's like, I don't even really like this sport. I wish I was playing football. Maybe I'll get into, like, rapping or something. What do you even do? I don't even know. I guess you go back to your other business and focus on that for the day. Get your mind off something. Between that and Andrew Wiggins, he's been put through the ringer. Andrew Wiggins, like $1 trillion to freaking be a huge disappointment.
To get better, and they never did.
Yeah, how did that work out? That's a lesson for everybody. We're gonna, Andrew, kiddo, we're gonna. Before you do what we want you to do, we're going to reward you with $1 bajillion. So that will definitely motivate you to change your ways.
What about like some just like weird hot takes like Zion is too fat and
he's too fat and he gets diabetes. Zion is diagnosed with diabetes at the All-Star break in a press conference by Adam Silver, and it's a big, it's a national thing, and it's everyone is coming together for diabetes awareness.
You can only play once a week.
That would be, think about all the pieces, like the hot takes that would come. There would be like, you know, there would be some writers like, no, this is actually maximizes for efficiency. He's going to be so rested. It's not even funny. His per 36 numbers. He's not going to have to travel on the plane. He's going to get great sleep. He's playing like 50 games a season. He's still worth the max contract. Oh, that would be hilarious.
You're only playing two playoffs.
Yeah, yeah. Oh. Yeah, he has to take rounds off. He'll play in the first round, but he has to skip the second round, but he'll come back for the conference finals. It's like, what's wrong with him? No, he's just morbidly obese, but can somehow still score 30 points a game in a basketball game.
There's a hot take with that involves Rudy Gobert and COVID somewhere.
Yeah, there's something where maybe we're leaving material on the table. Where there's another flashpoint, and it's him. It comes back to all the way back to the original. That was crazy. Rudy Gobert got so much unnecessary hate for that. Whereas, like, people were they were basically like virus shaming him.
They were literally calling for
his death. They basically were. This Donovan Mitchell was leading the charge. He was rallying the townspeople with pitchforks. The freaking, we got your back, Rudy. I mean, Rudy, he got his money. Coincidentally, we didn't touch on that, but he got basically close to max money. But yeah, I just thought that was so weird. And it was all because it's like, oh, he made a joke the day before where he like touched the reporter's microphones. It's like,
did you watch
the video? Yeah, I seen the video.
No, like now.
No. What, was there a recent video? He did it again? You just can't learn?
And like, just like watching it like from then and then watching it now after everything that happened, it's like kind of bizarre that like what, like I think the reaction would be even stronger. If he did it now,
he should go full heel. He got all his money already. He should turn into like the corona denier, where he's like, "Oh, it's a government hoax." And imagine would he get like fined or suspended from Adam Silver if he just his new brand was like, "This isn't even real. This is all fake."
Right? Yeah, and then he gets Nike.
Exactly. No, that would be hilarious. Yeah, that would be. He just comes to media day. Well, it's virtual. I guess that's the thing. He can't touch the reporter's mics when it's virtual. Or he could just troll everybody. He's coughing. In every press conference he does, he's just dying coughing. I'm fine, guys.
I really hope. I mean, I'm surprised like they were able. I guess like, you know, winning helps. But, you know, Rudy and Donovan. And that, there was no reports after their feuding that they kind of reconciled.
Yeah, they didn't. We didn't get that article where they mended fences and they built bridges and they picked flowers together in the bubble. But I mean, I guess based on the way Well, the Jazz got eliminated in the first round. That's another. I can't remember. Did Rudy Gobert? I think the first basket scored in the bubble was a Rudy Gobert post up, which is funny. But other than that, I don't really remember Rudy doing anything. In like, what was his stats against the Nuggets? Did he just get bodied by Jokic, by the big Joker?
What about the Joker?
I'm thinking of like Rudy Gobert's stats. Like, what did he do in the playoffs? I'm just thinking, is the big Joker?
I think the Joker on him. He played well.
Let me look up.
I will say.
Let's look up the stats. Basic stats. Denver Nuggets. Denver Nuggets. Advanced stats. You want the Jazz. Basic stats. My computer won't load. Donovan, Rudy Gobert, 17-11. Yeah, he gave you what he normally gives you. Old Rudy. I mean, he's a good player. I felt like the Jazz had to do that. I mean, what are they going to do? Let him go? Who are they going to get to replace him? Unless they're totally going to transform their team.
He's 28, too, so
it's not an oldie.
You know. Yeah.
That was funny. I'm still laughing at Zion. Can only play once a week. That would be so funny. I'm almost rooting for that to happen. Because like, what's going to happen with this guy? Is he – like, it's just a constant debate on, like, oh, is he fat? Is he in shape? Like, how hard is it to get into shape? I have, like, an enlarged thyroid or something? 20 pounds.
Apparently he lost 20 pounds, but he still, you know, looks
– I feel like he can gain 100 pounds and lose 100 pounds, but he's going to look exactly the same. He just has a body that just doesn't matter.
It doesn't quit.
It just doesn't quit. That's exactly right. I think
that's fine.
I think he's going to be good. The thing about Zion is he's kind of boring to watch. Because every play is just a layup at the rim. Like, what else does he do? Like, if you watch his highlights, he literally gets the ball somewhere in the paint and then just like pogo sticks his way to the rim. But he doesn't really dunk it. He just does a layup.
He's closer to Ben Wallace than he is to Shaq.
Well, I mean, the only thing about Ben Wallace is he sucked on offense.
I know, but like...
And Zion's problem is...
Montrezl Harrell.
Yeah, he's just... But the thing is, he scores so much. So he could still be a really good player. I'm pretty proud. I guess I wish I had a bigger platform because I could hang my hat on this. But I was just based off watching him at Duke, I knew he was never going to be an MVP level player. I thought he was going to be a perennial all-star, which is what he's going to be. But he's never going to win MVP. But I'm interested to see if he could be what?
He's too small.
Yeah, he is. He's not a good enough shooter. He's undersized, and I'm interested to see his development on defense because he has to become a positive on defense. He really doesn't have any excuse. Obviously, he's kind of undersized, but there's not, bro, like this is not 1985 anymore or the 90s when Patrick Ewing is backing you down in the post with Hakeem Olajuwon. Like you just be, he seems like he's a good passer. So in order to be a good passer, you have to be a smart player. So if you're a smart player and you're really athletic, there's no excuse to be bad on defense. That just means you're out of shape or you just don't care. And he's at Duke, he struck me as like a guy who's a great teammate, high effort guy. So I'm rooting for Zion to be a good defensive player. Because he's going to be able to score.
Yeah, he's going to be able to score. I mean, per 36, his numbers.
It just makes me appreciate Blake Griffin more. I think we talked about this before, but like early Blake's highlights are just like they're jaw dropping. In terms of like he was just literally massacring guys on every game. He would just take no prisoners. He would literally dunk on people every game. I feel like he's not going to be remembered fondly enough. Like he when people talk about the best in-game dunkers of all time, do they even talk about Blake? They should.
Blake is going to be an all-star this year.
Yeah, you know what? I'm rooting for Blake Griffin. How about that? He's on an irrelevant team in the Pistons.
He can shoot threes now, bro. He can shoot threes now. And he's a great passer, super underrated passing. If he can shoot threes, he still has athleticism, and he has a great touch around the rim.
No, I'm a Blake Griffin fan. I think people have left him for dead, and his 2019 season, like you're saying, he was shooting threes off the dribble, looking great. So hopefully, I mean, especially with the Pistons, they sort of have a weird team. So it's like it could be a year for Blake to just be like, I'm going to be the best player on the team, and I'm going to put up numbers. We're not going to win anything, but it'll be a nice bounce back year for him.
I mean, he's by far the best player.
Yeah, on that team. I don't even know.
I'd rather have him than John Wall.
Yeah, I'd rather have him than John Wall. Agreed.
I would rather have him than
Nuclear Nikola Jokic. No.
Let me see. Who else we got? This is interesting. I'm trying to think.
Who is the best player that you'd rather have, Blake? Yeah. I don't know.
I just got like a list of players right now, just so I could see everybody. I'm just going to type in top.
Would it be better than Bam Adebayo? That would be spicy.
That would be a hot take. And honestly, I think it's definitely possible.
That might be the guy, the best guy that Blake Griffin will be better than. I don't know. I mean, I just like Blake's game. I wish he was on a contender. I wanted the Warriors to trade for him. That would have been cool. But before Clay got hurt.
Yeah, I mean, he's really athletic, but he is actually skillful.
He's so skilled, yeah. And like you're saying, his passing has always been underrated. Back on the Clippers, he was just a really good passer. I think the thing is that he never really was like a really good defensive player, and I couldn't like totally figure out why that was. Maybe his wingspan isn't like what you would expect for someone his size, because he's super athletic and he's super smart, and he played with high effort level, so it's kind of weird that he was never like a, oh, Blake Griffin defensive player of the year level guy. Maybe he had too much of an offensive load. Who knows?
Yeah. And with that said, I mean, there's a lot of exciting stories coming into this game, into this year, a lot of exciting teams. Being rooting for two contenders like ourselves, like you like, obviously, the Lakers with LeBron, and I like the Nets. You know, we both are heavily invested in this season, but outside of them, there's a bunch of interesting storylines and narratives, you know, with the Clippers, Bucks, like how good are they going to be? Giannis demanding a trade, like the James Harden trade rumors. I wish we could just get that over.
Yeah, I feel like Adam Silver should just like get everyone in a room and like, you guys have 3 hours. All the teams involved, like this has to be settled. And the Rockets, if you don't trade him, you have to keep him the rest of the season. I'm almost bored of it at this point. Like the hype was at an all-time high like 2 weeks ago or something, and then it just has fizzled.
I mean, I think the Rockets are doing the best they can because Harden's clearly not going to stay long term. It's just the market isn't there right now, and they're probably going to end up holding him at least till the All-Star break. I mean, season starts literally in 2 days, so it's tough to really go into camp and then like the first two games. Like, I'm thinking like of the Nets' perspective, just to have your course totally flop just after a game.
Or yeah,
even the Sixers, like you go from Harden to Simmons. Like, it's such a big move because Harden is such a big piece. You know, it's very impactful for both sides. So you really just want to get it done now, or also, I mean, it's tough. I don't know. And we'll see. Usually we don't see many trades after the first game until the All-Star break. You don't see any trades, especially that are significant. So I think it might just be until the All-Star break. And yeah, but I mean, I'm excited this year. And we get, you know, a good stretch of opening day games and Christmas games.
Right, so, back to back. That's an interesting dynamic we never really have seen before. We're really getting like the taste of Christmas Day is like opening day, even though it's not.
The Warriors-Nets game is going to be like, these games are going to be so, these are going to be heavy.
I was going to say, like, not scrutinized is not the right word, but they're going to get eyeballs. You would think, you would hope. I just wish Clay was healthy.
Yeah. And then you get the Nets Celtics, and then I think the Lakers Clippers opening night, and I think the Lakers Mavericks on Christmas.
See, that's so, that Luka LeBron angle. Adam Silver knows.
Yeah.
He knows the truth.
It. Yeah, he's Korean history.
And one, because I think we're up to like 150 now on the time. I just would like to make a note that I'm warming to Kyrie Irving. I still think he's insufferable, but I think he's pretty funny. So,
I don't know. Okay, there you go. Finally.
I think he's funny. I think I would never, if he was on my, if I was in your position, you would have no choice but to go all in support, but I would be very concerned that it's not going to end well somehow because he's just such a off the reservation, basically. But he is funny. I thought him saging the, I thought that was hilarious. That was one of the funniest things like an athlete has done in so long. And I know he was like he was serious about it, and he's all about like the, apparently he has like Native American heritage or whatever. But I just thought it was so preposterous and so perfectly Kyrie and so hilarious. When I saw that clip on Twitter, I'm like, I'm in on this guy. Screw it. You know, I just, and exactly. I think, of course, he's going to have 8 different quotes over the course of the season where I'm like, oh my God, this guy's the worst. But when I saw that quote, it just like hit that clip. It hypnotized me, you know, like I couldn't, I was not going to say, you know, I'm more defaulted to being like anti Kyrie, like in the past, just sort of, you know, I leaned in that direction. And when I saw that clip, I said, there's no way you're going to get me to be anti this clip. There's no way. So if you expected me to be like, oh, Kyrie, he's saging the Boston, like that is like the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life, but whatever. It's just great. He's saging an arena. No, when has an athlete ever done that? That's so funny.
It's so innocent, but it's so funny. It's so strange.
And he knows
funny.
What he's doing, and it's like he's trolling a little bit, but he's serious. But it's like, can you really be that mad at him? He's just saging an arena, but it's like, dude, what are you doing? Like, this is so ridiculous. But it's I love it. That was great move.
The best, like, it got even better talking to KD after the interview, and they asked him about him saging the court, and he's like, oh yeah, Kyrie probably sages his own room before playing 2K. I thought that was fucking just hilarious, just because it's like, we haven't seen anyone talk to Kyrie like that. Like
right,
you know,
kind of on his side, but can make fun of him. Like, it shows how much him and LeBron were not actually ever friends, really.
Yeah, like that just didn't happen. Like, we didn't see that shit. Like, and now we're seeing like actual what, you know, people that Kyrie really liked. I mean, but then again, you see, just before the pregame, Kyrie literally shook hands, was like dapping, hugging everybody.
The former Celtics players, yeah.
All of them. Every single one. So it's like, how is Kyrie toxic? Like, what? This is so overblown. And then, like, just the KD Instagram Kyrie thing, like, just hearing Kyrie uncut. They're honestly, like, it just, I just realized, like, Kyrie is taken way more seriously than what he actually is. And, you know, I think like we wouldn't see that without Kevin Durant, because since they're actually friends, like KD understands Kyrie and can make fun of him. And like, you'd see Kyrie like laugh at him getting roasted or whatever. So it's actually, it's very positive. I just like the energy. And I mean, the chemistry is good. Karis like was kind of like busting him up too, like roasting a little bit. Like, he's like, why are you sitting crisscross applesauce?
And he had like a gong next to him. We talked about it, but it was like, dong, dong. He had like some kind of drum.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, this guy, it's almost like you can't, you love to hate him, you hate to love him. Like, I just thought that in that moment, I was like, come on, that's funny. He's playing the gong. I don't know.
I mean, I think he's just so, for basketball, he's just so talented. And he's so, so fun to watch. So fun to watch. I mean, this guy's just a highlight machine, yet he's so efficient. He's not like, you know, a Harlem Globetrotter. This guy is a Harlem Globetrotter that's actually incredibly one of the most efficient players in the league. Incredible, the best handle of all time. One of the best finishers of all time at the rim for his size. Just great shooter, you know, just awesome. And I mean, I'm all in after seeing what KD did in the preseason. Couldn't be more excited for this team, both on and off the court, honestly. Like, I think they're funny. Honestly, like, my perception from these two like a month ago till now has just not like dramatically changed, because I was obviously optimistic and positive, but now I'm just like infatuated with like just the whole team dynamic with the personalities.
Well,
and
I mean,
talent.
It's fun to root for a good team. I mean, it's like it's obviously there's something to be said for following a team like you did with the Nets when they're terrible. And then, you know, they're sort of building their way back up and you're following the progress of players like Spencer Dinwiddie and Caris LeVert. There's something to be said for that, and that is also a fun experience in a way. But it is just great stuff when the team is an actual contender and actually has really good players, and, you know, obviously, hopefully they live up to their potential. but there it is. It's fun to buy into something like that and to root for it and to watch it for sure. But so yeah. On a final note here, would you still want the Harden trade or no?
You know, that's the thing. It's like if Harden gets traded, I'm gonna be like happy, but like now that we've gone like kind of this far, I kind of just want to see how this team would play out. Like I wish I could just see like both paths.
Yeah, see, that's a tough thing about life. You can't do it, but yeah, no, I totally understand what you're saying because I feel like if I was in your position as a Nets fan, I would feel the exact same way. Almost the ideal situation is for them to play 20-30 games, and if they're going to trade for Harden, then do it then.
Yeah.
But even if they're still good and they trade for Harden, at least you got to see what that team looked like. You know, it's almost like you don't necessarily want to see what the team looks like because it's like, well, if they're good, don't trade for Harden. If they're bad, then do trade for Harden. It's just almost like I just want to see, regardless of Harden, regardless of being good or bad, I just want to see what this team looks like. And then if we do the Harden thing, we can do the Harden thing, whether we look good, whether we look bad. Obviously, that would make it more likely. But I do understand that, like, curiosity to be like, I want to see what this group of guys looks like playing together.
Yeah, I mean, because they have so much depth. So it's really interesting, basically, just the two structures would work. You know, two superstars with great depth versus three superstars versus average to below average depth. So that's, you know, I think either way can be successful. So, you know, I'll be happy regardless. I'll just be happy regardless. But yeah, I mean, we got to wrap this up because we're about to break 2 hours. But do you have any final?
No. Thought? I think I'm ready to go. This actually got me more pumped about the season than, I mean, I knew I was pumped to begin with, but I think there is, I'm pumped. I'm probably more excited than I was for even last season. I just think it's going to be great. I like the trades, like where I'm even, you know, even like we said, to be interested in what's going on with the Charlotte Hornets and the Washington Wizards. I'm not going to be saying I'm going to be watching all their games and stuff and like really tuned in on, you know, the Atlanta Hawks subreddit, but I just think there's a lot of different, there's going to be a lot of good teams playing hard and it's going to be fun.
Yeah. So just exciting. It's so exciting. Fucking NBA is starting 2 days already. Christmas, you know, good times. So have a great day or night whenever you're listening to this. And stay tuned for next week.
And Merry Christmas. I almost forget that Christmas is sneaking in there 5 days from then.
Yeah, Friday. It's crazy. So hope you guys get what you want, give what you want. So yeah, that's it. That's it for this week, folks.
All right.
Peace.